Hi, Richard Felix here. Having been chairman of Derby and Derbyshire Tourism for the best part of 4 years, and also running Derby Heritage Centre for 14 years, and telling the story not only of Derby, obviously the county town, but of Derbyshire as well, I've realised just how many famous people are associated with the county of Derbyshire. How many superstars there are. All of them have made a notable contribution, not only to the nation, to our nation, in many walks of life, but also to the world in general. Derbyshire can be so proud of them all. Some of them were born in Derbyshire. Some of them lived in Derbyshire. Some were descended from Derbyshire families. And a few of them have actually just got strong associations with the county of Derbyshire. But without a doubt, Derbyshire can be very proud of them and can claim, I believe, more superstars than most counties in Great Britain. And so this is going to be a series of vignettes, small podcasts, telling the amazing story of Derbyshire's superstars. Derbyshire born, Derbyshire bred, strong in arm and wick in head. But to me, wick's wrong, it should be quick. But I'm telling you, Derbyshire has got more talented people than I believe probably in any county of Great Britain. This is definitely God's county. There's no doubt about it. We've got more superstars in Derbyshire than anywhere. And one of the many is a guy called Robert Bakewell. Admittedly, he was born in Uttoxeter in 1682. But his father, Samson, must have been quite wealthy, as young Robert served his apprenticeship with the world-famous gatesmith Jean Tijoux, who was responsible for the magnificent wrought iron work at Hampton Court and Chatsworth. Once Bakewell's training was over, he moved to Melbourne, where he started work for Sir Thomas Coke, who was in the process of laying out the gardens at Melbourne Hall. Bakewell did much of the work for the Cokes, including ironwork for the terrace at the hall, work for their London home, and perhaps his most exquisite piece of beautiful work was the birdcage arbour, which he made between 1706 and 1708 to stand in the grounds of the hall. At this time, he lived in a stone house at Melbourne between the hall and the church. In fact, the house is still there to this day, bearing a plaque. And also still surviving is the original stone quenching trough that he would have used to cool the red hot iron that he was working on. Whilst in Melbourne, he had an affair with a young lady, the outcome of which was the birth of an illegitimate son called Fisher Bakewell. Sir Thomas Coke was not happy with these goings on in Melbourne, and Bakewell's contract was terminated forthwith, and he was sent packing. He moved with some haste to Derby, where he set up a forge in Oak's Yard in St Peter Street. This yard's long disappeared. The entrance was originally where Burton's is now, in Victoria Street. From his forge in Derby, Bakewell began creating some of the finest ironwork in the country, ultimately taking commissions not only in Derbyshire, but in the East and West Midlands and Wales. In fact, one set of gates is now in Massachusetts. Bakewell became the finest native ironsmith in the country and became famous not only for the quality of his work, but also for the quantity of his work. He took on at least 20 commissions in Derby alone. These included the gates of St Mary's Gatehouse bearing the dolphin crest, which is now in front of the cathedral, the gates of the silk mill as well. He made the gates for Jacobean House and the railings which once graced the cathedral. He also fashioned a fanlight which was over the entrance to Erasmus Darwin's house in Full Street. Although Darwin's house is no more, Bakewell's fanlight is actually still on display, or will be on display, in Derby Silk Mill. Also still to be seen is magnificent screen which he made for Derby Cathedral between 1725 and 1727. Bakewell's characteristic work can also be seen throughout Derbyshire, including weather vanes on Radburn and Duffield churches, gates at St Oswald's in Ashbourne and at Longford Hall, Foremark Hall and Etwall School. The gates which once stood to the entrance of his forge in Oak's Yard are still around too. They now stand in a fitting resting place in the Wardwick next to the museum where other small items made by England's most talented ironsmith are still on display to this day.